Well, I hope you enjoyed your brain break yesterday with that easy breezy 7-minute homily. Because today it's time to get back to bench pressing 300 pounds of the theology of the body. One of Sherlock Holmes's most famous detective cases was called The Adventure of Silver Blaze. The Scotland Yard police, typically inept, enlist Holmes' unique sleuth skills to solve the mystery of a stolen horse. The key piece of evidence that helped Holmes to catch the culprit was a curious guard dog that did not bark. From the dog's silence, Holmes astutely deduced that the horse thief was someone known to the dog. Hence, the canine kept quiet. Monsignor J. Gaston Hébert, my first pastor, once delivered a very memorable homily. Every homily of his was memorable. Using the illustration of a dog that didn't bark. Believe it or not, his topic that day was contraception and why the church teaches that its use is immoral. He admitted candidly that as a priest in the 1960s and 70s, like many of his confreres, Monsignor Hébert too felt the church's teaching was no longer relevant. And so he neglected to preach on it. In effect, he became like a guard dog that did not bark. He humbly confessed that his silence had been a mistake and that he had failed his congregation in warning them of the moral danger of contraception. He quoted Isaiah chapter 56, verse 10, which described Israel's priests as mute dogs that cannot bark. And then Monsignor Hébert, a priest of immense propriety and panache, did the unthinkable. He barked like a dog to conclude his homily. Woof, woof! His sermon was a stroke of Shakespearean genius. And he left the congregation contemplating how he broke his sinful silence by a bark. We might say that the entire theology of the body we have surveyed over the course of the last 2 years of homilies was but propedeutic preparation for John Paul II's final chapter, called He Gave Them the Law of Life as Their Inheritance. In this concluding chapter, the Pope Saint, in effect, barks like a good guard dog and warns the people of God of the moral and spiritual danger of artificial contraception, the wolf at the door. John Paul reflects deeply on Pope St. Paul VI's highly controversial encyclical called Humanae Vitae, meaning on human life, prohibiting contraception. You may remember Paul VI issued his encyclical in the 1960s at the height of the sexual revolution, the era of free love made possible by the birth control pill. The Pope explained exactly how he intends to bark, like Monsignor Hébert eventually did. He writes, "We want to take this further step, which will bring us to the conclusion of our by now long journey, under the guidance of an important pronouncement of the recent magisterium, the encyclical Humanae Vitae, which Pope Paul VI published in July 1968. He goes on, "We will reread this significant document in the light of the conclusions we have now reached. When we examined the original divine plan and Christ's three words, referring to it. You know, even though many clergy in the United States and throughout Western Europe were becoming like dogs that didn't bark, while contraception was spreading like wildfire. Incidentally, when was the last time you heard a homily on contraception? Pope Paul VI courageously opened his mouth to proclaim the whole truth about human sexuality and spirituality. Incidentally, John Paul directly influenced the writing of Humanae Vitae while he was still Cardinal Archbishop of Krakow. Dr. Janet Smith, who has written and spoken extensively on contraception and Humanae Vitae and has translated the original Latin text into English, details John Paul's considerable contribution to this watershed encyclical. She writes, that this theology of the body is so compatible with Humanae Vitae may be less surprising when it is recognized that views of John Paul may have had a significant influence on the contents of Humanae Vitae. She goes on, he was on a special commission that advised Paul VI on the subject of birth regulation. And Pope Paul VI was reportedly reading John Paul's earlier work called Love and Responsibility when he wrote Humanae Vitae. By issuing his encyclical, Paul VI stood fast against a growing wave of Christian denominations that accepted contraception one by one. Ever since the landmark Lambeth Conference in 1930, when the Anglican Church first capitulated. In other words, both Pope saints had learned well the lesson of Isaiah 56:10. They did not want to be dogs that didn't bark when the thief was trying to steal the prize racehorse. Let me give you a mental map of chapter 3 of part 2 of Pope St. John Paul II's tome called Man and Woman, He Created Them, to which he gave the working title, The Theology of the Body. The entire chapter is only 46 pages long, and yet the Holy Father believes every page was extremely pertinent, and therefore he did not omit anything like he did back with the Song of Songs and with Tobit. It is subdivided into two sections, the first titled The Ethical Problem, and the second, Outline of Conjugal Spirituality. Even though this chapter comes at the end of his book, we should not thereby cavalierly conclude that it is inconsequential, like the caboose at the end of a train, merely tagging along for fun. Quite the contrary. It is the most critical part, or at least the most practical part, like the rising crescendo at the end of a symphony, or the denouement dramatically concluding an epic story. Stephen Covey, the leadership guru, taught in his habit number 2 to begin with the end in mind. He observed humorously, it is incredibly easy to work harder and harder at climbing the ladder of success, only to realize it is leaning against the wrong wall. Well, John Paul reveals how carefully he followed habit 2, and that contraception is indeed the right wall. His entire theology of the body ladder is leaning against and looks to topple. He clarifies, it follows that this final part is not artificially added to the whole, but is organically and homogeneously united with it. In some sense, that part, which in the overall disposition is located at the end, is at the same time found at the beginning of that whole. This is important from the point of view of structure and method. We should also note that this chapter, with merely 46 pages, is evidently the shortest of all the chapters of the theology of the body. But don't let that brevity fool you. Chihuahuas are the smallest dogs too, but they often exhibit the fiercest bark. Praise be Jesus Christ.